Amen. Praise God. If you look at your Bibles this morning. This morning, I might need a little bit of help. Now, last time I shared, which would have been 2 weeks ago, if you were here, you may recall. If you weren't, you can go to the website and download it and listen to it at your leisure. But if you were here, you'll remember that I spoke on Jesus being in the boat, and the wind and the waves of being on the boat, the disciples were getting so fearful for their lives. And, you know, these were experienced fishermen. These were, well, at least four of them were, if you remember. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were all in the fishing business. And so four of those people in that boat, and if there were 13 in the boat, I think there were, that's less than that, because it says there are other boats that went along with them in the thing, so maybe they had half a dozen or so in each boat. But anyway, even if all 13 were in the boat, at least four of them were experienced at being at sea. And the waves were beating on the boat, and this wasn't just any storm, if you remember. You know, I read in the week a different account of that same passage. And it said in the passage I read in a few days ago in the middle of the week, it says that they were in jeopardy and fearful for their lives. You know, maybe you're going through situations like that and you think, well, we're in jeopardy. You know, it's getting, not getting better, it's getting worse. There was a woman in the Bible that was like that. She thought she was getting better. She was spending everything, well, she hoped she was getting better, and she was spending all her money trying to improve her health, but the Bible says she wasn't getting any better, she was getting worse. You know what she did? She did what the disciples did. They ran straight to Jesus. Jesus was in the boat, and he was asleep. And I asked the question last time, can you rest during a violent storm? Can you rest during a violent storm? We looked at a few things. Remember, we looked at some birds, some illustrations of the birds, and we saw that even the birds rest. They rest. You know, the eagle rests in flight and soars on the thermals. The geese fly and migrate and rest. You know, they just take a rest in the air and let the others do the work. You know, and then when it's their turn, they move up front and take the lead role and let the others rest. The Bible says that the swallow and the sparrow has found a nesting place, a place of rest. You know, Jesus likened Jerusalem to a, he likened himself to a mother hen that takes her chicks under her wing so they find rest. Can we rest in the midst of a violent storm? Well, I want to just develop that theme a little bit more this morning and just take it. Now, I was preparing to do something along the theme of the series of studies or that we've just started doing called the Entering the Rest. And I was going to progress and go on. And, you know, as I sat down yesterday, I'd spent the day yesterday working in the garden, and I sat down at the end of it and just sat down half an hour and opened my Bible and thought about this morning and prayed, you know, what I should bring and share. And I was all ready to march on and do what I'd purposed and planned, but God directed me somewhere else. And, you know, it's this I'm going to look at this morning. And if you've got Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the first book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Because in Genesis chapter 1 we read the story. Well, I don't really like using that word story, because the word story always to me implies something that's made up. I know you can have true stories, but I always get that image in my mind when I use the word story that something's been made up. It's a fairy tale or something like that. Something that we used to hear when we were children, or we pick up a book and read, and you know it's not true, it's just a story. So I don't really like using the word story, but here we have in Genesis 1 an account of God creating the heavens and the earth. And we're not going to read the chapter, I just want to go straight to verse 23. Now verse 23 says this, so the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Have you got that? Evening and the morning were the fifth day. Verse 24 starts off on what day? Day 6. Up to 23, it goes through the days, and it always finishes in the scriptures. It says, evening and the morning were the first day, evening and the morning were the second day. It goes the third day, the fourth day, and chapter verse 23 says, that's what happened on day 5. Now, verse 24 begins day 6. It says, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature, according to its kind, cattle and creeping things, and the beast of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. Don't you love those words? I think those words are great in the scriptures. And it was so. When God said, there's always, and it was so. If God promised you something, whatever it is, there's got to be the and it was so. Otherwise he wouldn't be God. God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures. It says in verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. That's something else I should encourage us. Whenever God does anything, it's good. God doesn't do part works. He doesn't do half a job. What God does is good. You know, the psalmist says that, you know, the Lord says, you are good and do good. You are good and do good. Amen. God saw that it was good. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, on day 6 of creation, we see God created the living creatures. The beasts that walk on the earth. The animals, the cattle, the elephants, the giraffes, the cats, the dogs, the rabbits. God created all these animals that we see, we know, and we love. And God also, on that day, made man. He made you and me. Mankind. Male and female, he created them. Now, if you've got your Bibles open at verse 27, 28. The end of the chapter there. Verse 28 starts this, says, then God blessed them. And God said to them, now what did God say to man? The very first words that Adam heard God speak were these. Are you looking? What's he say? He says, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Then he says something else. He says, fill the earth and subdue it. Then what does he tell man then? He says, have dominion. Got it? Have dominion. Have authority. You know, the very first words that God spoke to Adam were these. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion, said, over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every cattle, over every living thing that creeps on the earth. Have dominion. That was Adam's, that was his life's work. To be fruitful, to multiply, to have dominion over the earth. Adam here to be a blessing. To be blessed and to be a blessing. God blessed them and said, be fruitful. If you're fruitful, you are blessed. No one wants to go and... Now we did this, I don't know if it was last week or the week, a few days ago, we went out for a walk. And we were expecting to see fruit on a tree. Or on some trees. Now these trees are growing wild, so they're free to, you know, you can forage. Foraging isn't stealing. They don't belong to anybody. And we were going there, we wanted to collect some cherries off the tree. So we went out for a walk with the purpose. Jane took a bag with her. We thought we'll get a few cherries and we'll have, whether we'd get enough to make a pie, I don't know. But we got to the tree and guess what? The tree was not fruitful. The tree was not full of fruit. Somebody had beat us to it. If you are fruitful, you are blessed. This tree was not blessed. This was not a blessed tree. This was an empty tree. This was, you know, felt like Jesus facing that fig tree, you know. And he went to speak to that tree and said, let no one ever eat fruit for you again. But I didn't. I thought I'll wait till next year. We'll get some cherries next year. But this was not a fruitful tree. It was not full of fruit. And anybody that's fruitful is blessed. Now, God tells Adam to be fruitful. And then he gives him some instructions in the Bible. So it shows him how he's going to be fruitful. How he's going to be blessed. He says, I want you to have dominion. I want you to take authority in the earth. Adam, he says, you're king. You rule and you reign. This is your kingdom. And you're going to have dominion. That's where the word kingdom comes from. It's the king's dominion. It's the place the king rules and the place the king reigns. You're to have dominion over the earth. Adam, he says, you're number one. He says, you're a king in this place. He says, now be fruitful, multiply. He says, fill the earth, subdue it. And then God gives him a clue in the next verse. He says, look, he says, I've given you every herb, this is verse 29, that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth. And every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food, or meat. Now God tells him that if he wants to be fruitful, he's got to plant seeds. Now you know, I shared a few weeks ago about planting some beans in the garden. And I said that I put the seeds in the pot. You know, of course, now we're eating the beans. We're enjoying the fruit from that, planting that seed. You know, if Adam was going to be fruitful, he needed to plant seeds. You know, it's nature. You go out and you see the farmers at the beginning of the year, they sow their seeds in the field, you know, and then they reap in the harvest. This sowing seed was going to be Adam's means of support. This was the way he was going to operate and replenish the earth. This was the way he was going to become fruitful. And all that was on day six of creation. Now, God had given Adam some instructions. They said, look, it says, you've got to be fruitful. It says, you've got to multiply. You've got to fill the earth. You've got to subdue it. You're going to have dominion. You've got seed to sow. And then do you know what God said to him? It's not a trick question. It's in the Bible. So I tell you what he said to him? You see it in the beginning of chapter 2. He says, Adam says, well, what are we going to do today, God? I've got on. He says, we're going to rest. We're going to rest. You're not going to start work. You're going to rest. You say, well, what a God. He's given Adam this great big responsibility, this great big job. He says, you've got to fill the earth, you've got to subdue it. He says, you're going to have dominion, you've got seed to sow. He says, but first, rest. Why rest? Well, God was showing Adam the importance of entering the rest. It's a necessary part of our life of faith, and if we're going to be fruitful, we've got to learn to rest. Now let's just look at what actually happened here. He says in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day," this is the next day. Now Adam hasn't been on the earth 24 hours and God's telling him to take a day off. If you go to your employer, you say, "Well, before I start work, I want to take a day off." You may not get the response you're looking for. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Now this seventh day later became known, and they called it the Sabbath day. It was a day of rest. Now in the Gospels, in Mark chapter 2 verse 27, Jesus speaking to his disciples. And, well, actually wasn't speaking too much to the disciples, speaking to the religious leaders and the Pharisees, and because they had been walking through a wheat field, a cornfield. And all, quite innocently, all the disciples do, they as they walked by, they grabbed a few grains of corn from off of the plants. You know, and they rubbed the husks and things together in their hands. I did this the other week when we were out, just picked a thing and rubbed the thing, blew the husks away, and there was the grain, the wheat germ. And they began to eat it. And the Pharisees went mad. "Your disciples are working on the Sabbath day." All they did was just rubbed a little bit of grain in their hands, and they are working. And Jesus came back to him and he said this in Mark 2:27. He says, look, he says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." The Sabbath was made for man. Why? Because man needs to learn the secret of rest. Another translation of that says this: "The Sabbath rest was made on account and for the sake of man." Or as another translation puts it, "It was made to benefit people." There's a blessedness in rest. God bless the Sabbath day. Now, for all of you young people and all of these, well, not so much the young, but everybody, I want you to hear this. You cannot be fruitful by laboring all the time. People often think that. You think, well, I've got to earn this, I've got to go and work, I've got to... You know, they spend 7 days a week working, trying to get as much money as they can to try and have enough to live. And God says, you cannot do that. You cannot be fruitful if you're always laboring, because fruitfulness comes out of rest. You've got to learn to rest. You was never created to work 7 days a week. You were created to work 6 days a week and rest. The ground was created to produce food for 6 years, and then it needed to rest. And it's still the same. It should rest. You ask any farmer, if he's honest, he will tell you that. But he certainly shouldn't grow the same crop every year. He should give it a rest. They should alternate the crops. If they're going to grow the land every year, well, at least they should alternate so that they're not growing the same thing. To give the land a chance to rest. Because different plants put different things into the soils, and other ones take a lot out of the soil. You've got to allow the land to rest. So you can't work 7 days a week. You know, that type of thinking is wrong, it's flawed, and it's unscriptural. You've got to learn to rest. Fruitfulness comes out of rest. Blessing comes out of rest. Supply comes out of rest. Because God's people were bad at learning to rest. Probably like us, God gave commandment. He spoke to Moses in Exodus 20. You know that there's the long list of commandments. We call them the Ten Commandments. One of those was this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And then it goes on in verse 11. It says, therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Remember the Sabbath day. Remember the day to rest. Now God instilled that into Adam. Right from the very beginning. He said, Adam says, there's all this work to do. But first, we rest. First, we take a break. Now, why did God say that? Well, it wasn't to curb our enjoyment. It wasn't to say, well, oh, you're having too much fun, you better take a day off. It wasn't to say, it wasn't to prevent us from earning any money, or working, or doing what's right and proper. God gave commandment to rest because he wanted to bless them. Now, we're going to develop this theme a little bit more. The blessedness of rest. We are introduced in that, well, this isn't the first time it's used, but in Exodus, God says, remember the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day. This word Sabbath is the Hebrew word Shabbat. Do you know what this word means? How many of you, before I go on to that, like watching telly? It's not confession time, it's just a general question. If you like watching telly, do you know what? I can't stand watching ITV. Because you get to a good bit in the program, and what do? They go to an ad break. That's all right if you want to go out, like I was doing yesterday, you want to go out and make a cup of tea, or you want to go and... You've got something else on the go, and they're trying to do two jobs at once, and if it's an ad break, I'll go and... Do you know what that word Sabbath means? It means ad break. What do you mean, Pastor? It means intermission. That's what the word means. An intermission. A time to break. You get it in the theatre, you get it in the cinema, you get it on the telly. You have what they call the intermission. Now we call it an ad break, but it actually is called the intermission. It's in between the sets of film, or in between the scenes. And it means a time to break, a time to rest. Well, actually, the text really means to cease from labor. That's what it means. To take a rest. To desist from any exertion. Oh, I like that. I don't like to exert myself at the best of times. And if I've got a day where I can desist from that, even better. It took a lot of effort yesterday working in the garden, Jane will tell you. And I needed a Sabbath. I needed a rest. Elsewhere in the scriptures, Shabbat or Sabbath is translated, Isaiah particularly says, to sit still. You know what this is talking about? Sabbath is talking about rest. God wants you blessed. But if you want to be blessed, you've got to learn to rest. But what do I mean by rest? Now, I'm not talking about just sitting still, doing nothing. Of course not. But I want you to turn with me now to Mark's Gospel. Chapter 4. We're going to finish with a thought here this morning. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. We're sticking with the theme of sowing seed. Sticking with the theme of a farmer. And in Mark chapter 4, we're going to read a little parable Jesus taught, starting at verse 26. And he said this, he spoke to them a parable. He said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Now Jesus taught this parable, as all of the parables, to explain how the kingdom of God functions and operates. He teaches parables to show his disciples important truths about how God works, how the kingdom works, now how you operate in God's kingdom. And he said that the kingdom of God was like a man that sowed seed in the ground. The man went to bed, he got up in the morning. It says the seed began to grow, and then it came time to reap the harvest. Now here's a question. I want to ask you a question. What work did this man do? What work? Oh no, it's not a trick question. What work did he do? He sowed seed. What else did he do? His work is he reaped the harvest. You see that in the Bible. The only thing the man did to do with the seed was that he put it in the ground and he brought in the harvest. Can you see that? He sowed the seed and he harvested the crop. Did he make the seed grow? He didn't make the seed grow. So what was he doing between sowing and reaping? He was resting. He went to bed at night and he got up in the morning. He went to bed the next night, he got up in the morning. That's right, he just got on with doing what he was supposed to do. Did he go out in the field and perch himself a little chair and sit down in the middle of the field and say, "I put these seeds in the ground yesterday and they haven't come up"? No, he didn't do that. He put the seed in the ground and the Bible says he went to bed. He went to sleep. He forgot all about the seed. He wasn't panicking about the seed. He wasn't worrying whether or not it was going to grow. He wasn't losing any sleep because he was at rest. Do you know what Jesus, Paul. Paul wrote a letter to the Philippian church, and in that letter he said that my God will supply all your need. You know that letter. According to his riches in glory by Christ. But just a few verses earlier, he's telling the Philippian church, and he tells them about rest. Talking about their prayer time, they're asking God for things. And he says this in verse 6 of chapter 4. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." This man in this parable was not anxious about the seed. How many times have we come to God in prayer and we brought our prayer request? We say, "God, we've got a problem, we need this." Or, "God, we need you to do this. We need this sorting out." And then, After we brought it to God, we do nothing but worry about it, we fret about it, we try and work it. This is what we saw last week, didn't we? All the flapping around, let's be looking into birds, didn't we, last night? Flapping their wings. All the flapping around doesn't make a blind bit of difference to the problem. We can flap our wings and get excited and jump up and down and pace the bedroom floor at night. It doesn't change one bit. All it makes us feel is a little bit worse because we're so tired and we haven't got no sleep. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry, don't fret. He says, let your request be made known to God. And then what does it say? It says, and the peace of God. What's the peace of God? Rest. If you're at rest, you're at peace. If you're not at rest, or if you're not at peace, you're not at rest. Because if you're not at peace, your mind is worrying about the problem. And Paul says, look, he says, don't be anxious for anything. This man didn't panic about his seed that he was sowing. He didn't worry, didn't. He just slept by night and he rose by day. And the seed, all of itself, began to grow and sprout. But then there came a time for resting was over. Because then there's work to be done. And then he had to bring the harvest in. Now, what we're going to progress and develop over the next coming weeks, we're going to look at the rest, entering the rest, particularly where our faith is concerned. You know, the whole theme of it is not so much about taking a day off. We need to take days off. We need to learn to rest. You know, we need to learn to get away and have a holiday or, you know, do something. But we're going to be thinking about resting where our faith is concerned. Because if we're at rest, we'll be fruitful. It's when we panic, we worry, we fret over it, we try and work it out. We try and do like the disciples did last week or last time in the boat, you know, trying to shovel the water out of the boat. And they couldn't get the water out quick enough, you know, it was filling up. And they were about to drown, or so they thought. They were going to sink. So they went and woke Jesus up. How could Jesus rest through a violent storm like that? Have you ever thought about that? How could he do it? No, you know what it's like if you're in bed at night and you get a little bit of a thunderstorm. It wakes you up, isn't it? Well, it's raining, it's storm. You look out the wind and you see the rain beating down and the wind blowing. How can you sleep in a storm? Well, Jesus was at rest. He knew about rest. Now, how can we sleep in a storm? How can we rest in a storm? Well, we're going to discover that over the next few weeks. You know, there is a rest for the people of God. And Hebrews goes on to say that we've got a rest that we've got to enter into. You know, our flesh and our natural man wants to take over and take control. It wants to worry. It wants to panic. It wants to run its own course. But fruitfulness and blessing, as we've seen today, come from rest. And we've got to strive, as it says in Hebrews, to enter into the rest. Now, that's all we've got for today. We're going to leave it there. Now, next time we'll pick up that thought and progress and develop and look at the rest of faith. Amen.